Welcome to the Innovators and Investors Podcast. I'm Christian Marquez, founder and CEO of Finstrat Management. At Finstrat, we provide CFO-led accounting, finance, and reporting services to assist clients monetize their business. Stick around to the end of the podcast, and I'll share how you can be our next guest. Now, on to the show. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Innovators and Investors Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Marquez, founder and CEO of Finstrat Management. With us today, we have Cyril Stavsovsky. Cyril is the founder of Alpha Semantic. He's also an associate and advisor with Elonic. Cyril, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So a bit unique in that you're not only an operator, but you're an investor as well. So let me ask, where does it make most sense to start? Would you like to talk about Alpha Semantic or Elonic?
Well, it's actually both. We can start from Alpha Semantic and then move to the venture side. It's up to you.
Alpha Semantic it is. So what's the investment thesis?
Right. So just a short introduction to Alpha Semantic. It's a tool for VCs and sometimes private equity to find the best deals out there. So it's actually a tool. And if you have a thesis for an investment, for example, you're investing in hydrogen seed stage startups in the US, for example, we can find all such startups and show you only the best ones and even connect with them. So we did this agentic part, very high part, but it's really helpful for VCs to find and reach out to best companies out there. So that's Alpha Semantic. And again, we are a tool for VCs, but we also have our own thesis, and sometimes we do look at some startups for investments.
Okay. And what motivated you to start the company?
Right. So it's a long story, actually. So I've been doing most of venture capital for the last, I guess, 5 years. And at some point, I understood that AI is going to make it. And we need to use that at some point. And I decided to try and use AI to find the best deals out there. And first, we published a paper. It's actually open. I can share a screen and show that if you want. But in this paper, we predicted exits for startups using Crunchbase data and machine learning models. And then we tried to raise our own fund with my partners and CTO. Then we failed and eventually pivoted into this tool to make VCs happy to provide them with the pipeline for that. So it's that long way that brought me here. And right now we're helping a lot of VCs to find the best deals out there, and they actually closed a few ones. And I'm very proud of that.
Wow. Okay. Let's come back. I have a bunch of questions, but Elonic, how does the company invest?
Right. So it's a VC fund investing in early stage, say from pre-seed up to Series A, and sometimes beyond that, not limiting to some verticals, but we prefer deep tech, including AI and other cool stuff out there. So far, did 30 investments, again, mostly seed stage, 2 exits so far, I think almost 3 if this episode goes out lately. So it will be 3 exits so far. So again, pre-seed up to Series A, a few a few hundred thousand as a first ticket, and then we can follow as well.
And so which came first? Was it your time as an investor at Elonic and then...
Yeah, exactly. So when I was at VC, mostly it was Elonic, and then I started thinking how to make AI, and then Alpha Semantic came out, and yeah, I started that.
So great. So you mentioned that you've been in venture capital now for 5 years. What was your career leading up to your time as an investor?
Right. Well, that's a brilliant question. I think I started my career mostly in venture capital. I spent just a little bit in a bank in my home country. And yeah, I was just a little bit bored about that in banks. And I started looking for some new challenges. And I understood that venture capital is actually very interesting, especially at the beginning of your career. Because you're looking at a lot of business models, founders, you're meeting brilliant people such as co-investors, founders, and you just feel that energy, and then you're probably ready to start some. You see fails, wins, and that's actually encourages you to start your own shop. So I highly recommend trying that, but it's a very tough job as well.
Well, you know, it's funny. You mentioned that working at a bank could be boring. I have to ask though, was there anything during your time at the bank that, other than being bored, that influenced you or had it left an impression on you that you took with you today as an investor?
Well, I think at any job you need to either learn or earn, just like Gary Tan posted, I think recently on X or Twitter. I think even though it was bored, but I still learned how to work hard. We worked from, I think, 9 to 5, but sometimes 5 was AM, not PM. So it learned me how to work hard. So I'm still happy with my experience there.
Got it. Well, it sounds like you find, you know, it's, as I'm listening to you describe venture, you know, you can almost describe it as a big puzzle. A lot of variables. It's not always clear as to how they connect. But if you can solve the problem, you end up with something amazing when you're done. And so today as an associate, how, when you're focused on Alonic, how do you spend your time looking at investments?
Right, so we use a lot of AI tools, including Alpha Semantic here. So yeah, I think AI is taking over some parts of the job of VC, and maybe it's an interesting insight for your audience, but mostly you're looking at founders and talking to them, digging deep into data rooms, and mostly answering emails. I don't post a lot of them on X, just like memes and jokes here out there talk, but it's not like true in all the cases. So as a VC, I mostly talk to founders, look at new founders, and trying to convince them to take my money, and probably that's it.
And so, you know, it's interesting if you think about Alpha Semantic. It's a, you know, I think about it, it's an objective, quantifiable, data driven approach, but yet, you know, founders, you know, how do you put founders in a database? Education is difficult, adversity, grit, you know, there are all these characteristics of the people who start and run a company that it could be more difficult to distill. How do you feel, what role does AI play in evaluating this, you know, qualitative subjective assessment?
Right. So right on the spot, Christian, I think the founder's background is very important, especially at the early stages of the startups. So if you're investing in early stages, it's probably the best thing you can look at to make the assessment of the startup. At Alpha Semantic, honestly, we don't provide like the investment advice. We are more for like sourcing tools. So we can source you some good enough companies so you can look at them. It's more of like a AI venture partner. But ultimately, the VCs are the ones who make the decision, and they talk to the founders. But I'll be not surprised if there are some AIs is being developed right now that can replace this part too. I'm really curious about how it goes. And yeah, that's probably the topic that I've been exploring for the couple of for the last few months.
Answers
the question.
Whoever can figure that out, great job. And I'm sure it's coming. You know, maybe you take scrape their LinkedIn page, or maybe you take a recording of them doing an interview, and I'm sure artificial intelligence can surface some insights. It'll be interesting to see how it evolves. But in the meantime, so the databases that Alpha Semantic draws on, what are the sources? Where do you go to start finding information on early stage companies, knowing that they're private? You know, they can be difficult to find, let alone get information.
Right. So great question. I know we found funny enough, I know a fund, a US-based fund, one of the first funds, AI-driven funds out there, obviously in the US, called Track.VC. Probably I can share the link for scheduling with you with them. They spend like ton of money on data to make best decisions out there. We use a few APIs for databases. We don't disclose them. And on top of that, we'll scrap some data on our own using domain search, LinkedIn search, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Got it. And so you mentioned that in the beginning that you've seen success, or you know, your clients have seen success. Any metrics in particular that you're finding are really good indicators of, hey, you know, there, we may have a winner on our hands here?
Great. Yeah, great question. So in the paper I mentioned before that inspired the tool, actually, we predicted. So we backtested this algorithm finding the companies, and it predicted to have a 14 times revelation the whole portfolio of startups that you invest in using this algorithm. So it's like top 2% of funds out there, of the funds returns out there, 14 times on the whole portfolio. So meaning you put in $1 million and get back 14 million. So yeah, that's probably the case. We proved that in our scientific paper that we published a couple of years ago. And yeah, happy to make a deeper dive if you want.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you know, to the extent, without revealing any trade secrets, if you can share with us, and we'll, for benefit of our audience, if you look in the show notes, we'll include a link to the paper so that you can study it yourself. But yeah, I mean, any you know, I have two thoughts, but any metrics in particular that the paper called out as consistently being a good indicator of success?
Right. So first, I mentioned this backtesting thing. So that ultimately proves the whole approach. But there is another metric that probably worth mentioning, is that the algorithm is right in about 86% of the cases that it's solving. So it's, again, it's looking at the startup and deciding ultimately, will it have an exit, a good exit, or not. And in 86% chances, it's correct. So it's also mentioned in the paper, and yeah, your audience can go and look at that and see if they want to use that as well.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things that I think about is as Alpha Semantic grows and you have more investors who are using the tool, does that mean that, or what are the implications? You know, if all of a sudden, you know, if I think about like, stock trading, if everybody's using the same signal, then the opportunity should eventually disappear because everyone's piling into the same trade. You know, have you thought about that? Have you considered, you know, are there limitations even after you identify the profile of a high potential startup that the more people who figure this out, it may start to change?
Great. Yeah, I like the way you think about that. For public markets, if we compare ourselves to public markets, we do more of a Bloomberg terminal for them. But for venture capital, it's ultimately different. If everyone's using the same signals and get to the same startups at the same time, I think the brand, the renommé of the funds using that, that's ultimately what matters. For example, Sequoia, Andreessen Horowitz, and other great funds out there, they will continue to win the best deals out there, even though they use these AI tools or not. And some investors just can keep up with the pace of these big funds if they use these AI capabilities. But ultimately, I think nothing changes in terms of the landscape of the top venture capital funds out there. And I'm sure in 30, 50 years, we'll still hear these great names like Andreessen Horowitz, Sequoia, Leonard Perkins, and other great guys out there. They will still win the best deals out there. And they will use these AI capabilities as well.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So, I mean, you think there's a whole host of variables that go into success. Network, obviously very big deal. resources, the ability to assist founders with sales, with hiring. And so, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it's a multivariate problem. You can still identify the best founders or high probability founders, but you still got to get in on the deal. And, you know, if a founder's worth their weight in salt, you know, it makes sense that they're going to gravitate to an investor who can increase their odds of success. So, you know, probably just makes a case that, and I know VCs already know this, but, you know, to the extent that you can expand the scope of your offering to make yourself more appealing in the eyes of a founder, you know, what are the, I don't know, what are the downstream effects? I guess it probably just depends on, you know, how big's your balance sheet? And, you know, what's the latitude that you have to, you know, allocate budget to support? You mentioned, so we know you're the founder of Alpha Semantic. What's it like building the company?
Well, it's not my first time. I built like a couple of pet projects before, but it's the first proper entrepreneurial experience. And yeah, it's just tough. Yeah, it's just tough. You have a lot of problems you need to deal with. I don't think AI makes it any easier these times, but yeah, it's just tough.
And did you teach yourself how to code, how to structure LLMs? What's been your approach to dev?
Right. So I've been lucky. I have a brilliant CTO who handles all that. I'm somewhat technical as well, but ultimately my CTO, Paul, who makes all the code and all this LLM stuff as well. So yeah, I've been lucky, but I think it's very important for the modern founder. And that's as well what I see being a VC and looking at the founders on the other side of the table is to educate yourself about LLMs, all these capabilities, how to make, for example, a quick MVP using all these tools, MCP, vibe coding as well. So it's, I've been trying to educate myself, but again, I've been lucky to have a brilliant CTO as well.
And so has your, out of curiosity, has Alpha Semantic's results suggested that founders with technical backgrounds have a higher probability of success?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of papers out there and a couple of, again, data-driven VCs who published some results of the data and statistics. And I think, yes, it is the case that some somewhat technical CEOs make the better CEOs. That's right.
And have you, I mean, it's intuitive. You know, and it makes sense. Speed is obviously an ally of an early stage company, and if you have that expertise in house, arguably you can move a lot more quickly. Have you raised any outside capital for Alpha Semantic yet?
No, we're fully bootstrapped.
And what was your decision as to fund this yourself versus going out and raising outside capital?
Right. Well, we were actually offered a couple of term sheets from angel groups, some angels, standalone angels. We just handled it all. And at the very toughest moment of this journey, we had no offers. So we just needed to go on and handle it. And at the same time, again, I'm telling that if you're building a niche SaaS, just as Alpha Semantic, you probably don't need that much capital. So that's probably the reason. But again, when we needed it the most, we didn't have the offers.
And so, you know, today, so obviously, you know, the consequence of taking capital is you get diluted, or taking equity, you get diluted. Now that you're further along and you've had success and you've bootstrapped it, do you think about the fact that, you know, the entire team owns the company outright and that you don't have any investors, or do you look at the value of investors greater than the money that they put in?
Well, it depends. It depends on the founder, on the case of the startup. I think deep tech founders just need to get money. There is no other way. You cannot bootstrap, say, Tesla or SpaceX or some sort of the companies that doing some R&D or something. But yeah, for SaaS founders, something I'd highly recommend trying to bootstrap. And yeah, if you're partnering with an investor, you definitely need to look at like beyond the balance sheet, as you said before. So yeah, very good point.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It totally makes sense. Depends, you know, what you're building. And obviously, if you have something that's heavy on infrastructure, if the founders don't already have deep pockets, yes, you're going to have to bring a separate investor on. But SaaS, on the other hand, is a great place to start. You know, I'm sure you've seen articles, a lot of there's been written about who's going to be the first single employee billionaire. Just because the scope of the tools are getting easier to build a company. I don't know. What's your opinion? How many years do you think we are away from the first solo employee billionaire?
Great. Yeah, great question. I actually don't have a hard opinion on that. I have a couple of thoughts that I can share. So, for example, I think if we expect someone to be the first solo employee of their own company, it's probably going to be SaaS, but I have some doubts that SaaS is going to be a dominant model in startups. And yeah, what if in, say, in 5 years, we're going to see ChatGPT or other LLMs out there being so powerful, so you can just prompt the whole SaaS that you need, and it gives you right away. So in this case, we're probably not going to buy some expensive enterprise subscription for services. We can build some SaaS, say CRM for our own company inside. And in this case, there's no going to be no billionaire. But on the other hand, that's an inspiring story, right? So I'd love to see some self-made billionaire on SaaS, but it's probably going to be some deep tech AI stuff, say Andrei Karpathy or some other guy with the same brain or something can develop some AI agent or AGI that can handle all that. So in this case, I guess it can be possible, but ultimately, I don't know. And yeah, it's very interesting to look ahead and see what happens.
Yeah, you know, probably a safe bet in the next, you know, 10 years, 5 years, I could see that happening. Just given the pace of which I see models evolving. I mean, I'm sure like yourself, I mean, oh my gosh, 2.5 years, just so impressive that we haven't seen anything yet. Coming back to your time as an investor. So, you know, I appreciate you're data driven. I appreciate you looking to your founders. Any other criteria that's top of mind? As you think about when you're looking at potential investments?
Right. So my personal thesis as an investor, as a venture guy, is very simple. I think it's all about the founder at the early stages. What's also important is the market you're playing in. Obviously, you can pivot to something that can change ultimately the whole market, but the general direction is very important. For example, right now you need to build an AI and not in, say, blood testing from one drop of blood, let's say so. And the third thing I think is the direction. If you really demonstrating the speed, the pace with what you're going into this venture, is very important for VCs. And I think on the VC's perspective, it's also about the terms. If you can get the best terms out there, say not 30 or 100 million cap at the pre-seed stage, but say 10 million cap, that's also very important. But that's mostly about the VC perspective. Founders don't need to be bothered about that.
Yeah, interesting. We could probably devote an entire show to term sheets and talking about best practices as to you know, what to think about, and I probably should do that now that I mention it, so maybe I'll take that as an action item.
Great. I can recommend a great guest for that.
Well, you know what, I was going to ask you that, but so I'll ask you now. You know, one of the things that we've started doing is saying, hey, is there anybody in your network that you think our audience should listen to? And if so, I'm all ears. Would love to know who that is.
Great. Yeah. Should I recommend right now?
Yeah, let's Let's hear it.
Well, I think I had the pleasure working like super briefly with a brilliant lawyer in LA, actually, I think, or San Francisco, called Leonard Griver. A lot of great companies you can think. He's probably been involved there as a lawyer, as a startup lawyer, and he also collects a lot of vintage old school cars. Yeah. He's probably gonna talk about that as well. So Leonard Griver is going to talk about term sheets and all that at your podcast. I'd love to hear that.
Well, it sounds like we got to find a lender and extend him an invite. So that's with us. We will do that.
Great.
Cyril, one of the questions I enjoy asking is a look back. And so if you had an opportunity to go back and have a conversation with your younger self, any age you pick, what would you share?
Right. I'd say just go and try that. And also try to look after your health and probably start running not at 28, but probably 8 years earlier or something. So yeah, just two things. Health, probably friends and family is important, but just go and try that. No need to wait until you just get this VC wisdom or something. Just go and try something. That's very important.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a great point. Obviously, there's a lot to do, but what's the point of it all if you're not healthy when you succeed? So couldn't agree more. Yeah, I mean, even personally, sometimes I'm like, all right, I have a ton to do, but I have to go to the gym.
Right.
You know, and the irony of it is you come back and you're more recharged, and you've got the ability to work a little bit longer and a little bit harder. Cyril, I really enjoyed this podcast, and I appreciate your insights. If there are any members of our audience who like to get a hold of you, how can they find you?
Well, they can go out and find me on LinkedIn. They can book a time with me on our startups page, alphasemantic.ai. There is a calendar link if you want. But yeah, LinkedIn, I see all incoming requests. If they want to go and chat, please go ahead.
Fantastic. And again, for the benefit of our audience, Cyril Stabsovsky. Cyril is the founder of Alpha Semantic. He's also an associate advisor investor with Alonic. Cyril, thank you again. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, Christian, thanks for having me again.
My pleasure. And again, I'm your host, Christian Marquez, founder, CEO of Finstrat Management. This has been another episode of the Innovators Investors Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Take care. Christian Marquez here. Thank you so much for listening to the Innovators and Investors Podcast. If you're a successful founder or an investor who would like to be on the podcast, please visit podcast.finstratmgmt.com. If you know someone that would be a great guest, please tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag Innovators and Investors. I'd love to see your posts and suggestions. We're regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you catch each new episode, please subscribe to the Innovators and Investors Podcast. And your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. Would you like to know more? Go to our website, finstratmgmt.com, or follow us on LinkedIn or on X. Our handle is @finstratmgmt. This is Christian Marquez. Thank you for listening. Until next time.